This is Pastor Stuart Schneider welcoming you to a service of worship at Community Presbyterian Church in Bellefonte, Kentucky. Come, let us worship the Lord together. Our first reading is from 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, 8 through 16. The word of the Lord came to Elijah, saying, "Go now to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there, for I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he set out and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel so that I may drink." As she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterwards make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied, and the jug of oil will not fail, until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth." She went and did as Elijah said, so that she as well as her household ate for many days. The jar of meal was not emptied, neither did the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. Hear the word of the Lord in this reading.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from Mark, the 12th chapter, 38 through 44. Teaching in the temple, Jesus said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses for the sake of appearance, say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury, for all of them have contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." Hear the word of the Lord in this reading. I'm forever going on with you about confession being good for the soul. As I said a few minutes ago, it's how we face our individual demons, and by facing them, we deprive them of power. So here's my confession to you. I am no longer as capable as I was when I was younger.
Surprise, surprise.
My birthday is in October, and because of that, I get gloomy in the fall and in the winter. Fall and winter remind me that I'm a year older and have a number of ailments that aren't going to get better. I end up feeling old and in the way. It drives Kathy nuts when I say that, but it is true I'm no longer as capable as I was in my youth. For instance, I'm such an inefficient old coot that it takes me, even on good weeks, a full 5 days to prepare a sermon for you. I get the text from the lectionary page on Monday at the Chapel of St. Arbuck's, and I paste it into this form that I use. Then overnight, generally I get a revelation of what I should speak on, and I start putting that together on Tuesday. It takes the rest of the week for me to get a sermon. Not this week. This week I went to the cupboard, and the cupboard, she was bare. Nothing, not so much as a can of beans. Starvation was staring me in the face, and I panicked. It's only Tuesday, remember? But I panicked. I wasn't going to find a sermon. What business, I thought, did I have imagining that I would? And if I did, what possible difference could my sermon make? What possible contribution to the welfare and spiritual health of this congregation could an inefficient old coot like me make? I told you, I get gloomy in the fall and the winter. In great fear, I ran to my archives of old sermons and rummaged around for a few sticks that I might use to build this week's sermon, and truthfully, I finally resurrected a sermon from 3 years ago. Oh, I salved my conscience by re-editing it all week, so it would sound fresh, and so you wouldn't be likely to catch me and recognize it. But it was still stale food that I proposed to offer to a hungry congregation. But what difference did it make? I'm old and in the way, and I have nothing important to offer anyway. The sermon I had stolen from the archives was called White Knuckle Flyer, and was about moving forward in faith, trusting God, even when you cannot perceive what the outcome might be. Well, I had a sermon after all week editing this. But when I tried to decide on a title, the cupboard was bare again. I didn't want to use the same title. You'd catch me in my little deception. But I could not for the life of me come up with a title. Isn't that amazing? I didn't get an idea for what I was to preach by Tuesday. I went into a complete panic, raided my archives, and spent the rest of the week, when I should have been preparing a sermon for you, trying to cover my tracks, when I should have been listening to the old sermon in the first place and trusting God, even though I could not perceive what the outcome was going to be. Now, here is where things get really interesting. On Wednesday morning, as I got out of my car, I saw two pennies laying on the pavement. Tight old Dutchman that I am, my first impulse was to pick them up. I stopped myself, of course. Two pennies? What possible use are two pennies? Silly old coot. It did remind me of the two coins the widow put into the treasury, though. There's a coincidence, I thought. On Wednesday afternoon, I sat down in one of the comfy chairs at the Chapel of St. Arbuck to read a bit. I put my coffee on the table beside the comfy chair, and there, looking up accusingly at me, was a Lincoln penny. I was beginning to get an itch. Why are pennies all over the place suddenly? They never have been before. We have two stories today of women who are old and in the way. Nevertheless, both of them do really irrational things, courageously moving forward in faith, trusting God, even though they could not perceive what the outcome would be. Let's look at the older story first. Elijah approached the widow of Zarephath and asked her for food. Of all the unlikely people to ask for food, she was the least likely person to ask, for she had none. As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said. But first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterwards make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied, and the jug of oil will not fail until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth. She went and did as Elijah said. Now, why in this world? She's not a Jew. She's living in out of Jewish territory. So why in the world would a Gentile widow who is looking starvation in the face do any such daft thing as that? Just because somebody she never laid eyes on before told her to. And why would Elijah not allow her and her son to see that the jar of meal and the jug of oil would never run out before demanding food for himself? It's a lot easier to believe in miracles after you've seen them, and a lot harder to move forward in faith not knowing what the outcome is going to be. Could it be, I wondered, that faith actually means moving forward even when we cannot perceive the outcome when God speaks to us? In the story of the widow's mite, Mark tells us he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which are worth a penny. What possible contribution to the welfare of the treasury of the temple could this widow's 2 cents make? A good case could be made, I think, that she, as a child of God, had more need of her 2 pennies than did the treasury, which was being filled by large contributions of rich people. Still, she put her 2 cents worth in, even though she couldn't possibly imagine what good it might do. Really, she highlighted our prayer today. Gracious God, so often we look at ourselves, our gifts, and our talents, and wonder what you would do with these offerings. We don't think that we have much to give, so far too many times we belittle the gifts and turn our backs on the needs and opportunities present to serve, believing that our gifts cannot possibly make a difference. If you recall, my stolen sermon was about moving forward in faith that God is in control, even if you can't perceive the outcome. I now know that the work I put in on editing that sermon and re-editing it was for my benefit rather than yours, because I needed to have my attention focused on just that. I needed to hear those words and that lesson so that I could put aside my insecurities and fears and deliver this sermon to you. That's what the 2 pennies on the parking lot and the penny on the table were all about. I was being told to listen. After God gave me his 2 cents worth by making me rehear that older sermon, I could finally move forward in faith. God grants us the tools and abilities we need to move forward within his will if we will only listen. If you can just take your hand off God's steering wheel, he will show you the way, no matter how surprising that way may turn out to be. We aren't called to celebrate ancient miracles. We are called to move forward in faith in today's world, in pursuit of outcomes that we may not be able to perceive, or which we may never be aware of. You may wonder where this sermon came from if I spent all week on the other. Here's what I noted. It's Thursday as I write this, Thursday when I am to give the sermon title to Linda. Thursday of the week I had spent trying to conceal my lack of inspiration, my utter poverty as your pastor, and I went to the chapel of St. Arbuck's to polish up my week's deception. I got my breakfast and went to get a napkin. There on the service table, right in front of me, were 2 copper pennies. I dumped the forgery and wrote this sermon in 1 take. My modern rational mind informs me that the widow's 2 cents couldn't possibly make an impact on the temple. My modern materialist mind tells me that the story of the widow of Zarephath is not to be taken literally, but to the end of my days, I shall never forget those two copper pennies on the service table at the chapel of St. Arbuck's. In just the same way that the widow of Zarephath was able to do a kindness for Elijah, even though she was not a Jew, it is possible for all of us, Jew, Christian, Muslim, to do likewise. We have only to commit ourselves to watching for God's 2 cents and responding. Amen. Please join me as we affirm our faith from the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Till we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. And God's people said,
Amen.